Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ghoststories. That's Better H-E-L-P. And join the over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. Again, BetterHelp.com/ghoststories. If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control. The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today in Real Ghost Stories Online, did some type of force take over the dialogue of a family, leading them to say hurtful things to each other with seemingly no control?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would love to hear from you. You can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to help keep us on the air, we'd really appreciate that too. Let's go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus episodes. The world's largest audio archive of ghost stories is what it is. It is 8 years of ghost story content all throughout the week. More hours than any place else of ghost stories. That's what you get at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You get our EPP bonus episodes on top of that as well. It's an extra episode every single week. Some of our best ghost stories in there, the ebook, the audiobook. It is all there. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol with you today. And what's going on in your world?
Yeah, friend. Well, you know, not too much.
No.
I did get some good advice, though, from a listener.
Oh, what was that?
So, you know, we were talking about me and my tarot cards that I have had my entire life. Mm-hmm. And my niece wanted them. And she's like, you know, you really aren't supposed to give your tarot cards to someone else.
Really?
That's what she said. She messaged me on the Instagram. And, you know, it's something I'd never really thought about, but it totally makes sense.
So
much of your energy is in those cards. But I haven't gotten them out in years.
So one, but, you can't like, so you shouldn't be buying like used tarot cards.
No. And I do remember way back when, like when I was really totally into it, that you didn't let anybody else read from your deck. Like those were exclusively yours. I knew that. But I'm like, you know, now that I haven't done anything with them in a long time, of all people, my niece, who I'm really extremely close to, I would give them to her. But maybe it's a bad idea. I'd hate to like F up her life in any way. She's got a pretty great life.
Yeah.
Everything was going great until bum, bum, bum.
Carol gave the tarot cards.
I just had to use my
there you go.
Effect. I never get to use it.
I know. Often. It's kind of fun.
Thanks.
So.
So thank you for that advice. She sent me a private message and everything.
That's cool. I did something over the weekend that I was like kind of hesitant on doing, but I thought it was really cool what I found, and I thought
A Barbie Ouija board.
No, no, okay. It wasn't in a store either, because we're not really going out much to stores, but we went on a hike.
Another cow. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. A pigeon. No, we went on a hike, and we ended up on this old abandoned farmstead that's gone. Like the barn is there, but the house itself is all gone. The foundation is there, but the chimney is there, which is kind of neat. And there's a lot of debris from the house. So I'm assuming this thing, you know, has whittled down to where it is probably over the last 60, 70 years. I'm going to guess the last time it was active was maybe like the 1940s or 50s, somewhere probably around there. And we were walking, and next to the house, Harper says, "Look, an oven door." And it is. And it's one of those old oven doors where on the inside it has like the cooking chart, where it's like the half circle and it's, you know, ham this and, you know, chicken that. And I've seen them like antique stores, like people like make little kitchen signs out of them. I'm like, that's really neat. And the door itself is still on it too. Like the actual door to the oven. But it was a smaller one. It was like, it wasn't a giant oven door. And this is not like a state park or anything like that. I don't even know what runs it. I know it's not a state agency, but, this thing is just kind of sitting there rotting in the weeds of this house, and it's just going to turn to rust, you know? And I don't know anything about the house. I don't know if any ghost stories or anything with it. I haven't found anything, but I thought I'd like to put that in my kitchen. So
you brought it home?
We brought it home. So far,
and it's still in the garage.
It's in the garage. Yeah.
That's a toughie. I don't think I would do it. But on the other hand, you know, especially an oven is something a lot of love goes into, you know, because you're cooking for your family.
I thought it was
sad. If you're a normal person.
Yeah. I mean, I felt it looked sad. I mean, to me, I assign emotions to objects, but it was like this oven door. And I'm thinking all those things like this probably like had, you know, Christmas dinners and all that and things that were coming in and out of this, you know, and this, what was probably once this beautiful home. And I'd like to give it some love again, you know, if I'm doing it in a positive sense, not in a, you know, I'm going to try and sell this or something, because that's the last thing I would do with it. I don't know. I felt like I didn't have any bad vibes there or anything like that. Neither did Harp, and Harp's more sensitive than I am. It was more like kind of a warm, fuzzy thing. And Harp's like, we should totally take that and give it new life and, you know, put it up. So we have it. I feel good about it. I feel like I took something that somebody put a lot of positivity into, I hope. And, you know, and I'm giving it new life rather than just rotting to nothing in a field, you know?
And if you suddenly start smelling apple pies and ham and things like that, it's like, well, this ain't all bad.
Well, it could go down that road.
Again, probably would make actual apple pie.
Again, I don't know the history of the house or anything about it. So maybe it'll end up like that, or I'll end up spelling like blackberry brandy and cherry tobacco and hearing people being hit or something. Like, oh, shit.
It could be. It's like, dang it.
I was hoping it was a happier house, and then I'll return it back to its place. Because I wonder if that ran through my mind, too. So it was like, just kind of how it was sitting there. I'm like, I wonder if somebody else already took this once and they brought it back.
Like, I can't. It's too much.
So I don't. I mean, all these things go through my mind, but I don't know. I felt good about it. I think it's a positive thing. I'm going to go at it with positivity. And so when there's, you know, next week, I'm like, well, I saw four floating people in my house. You can all tell me.
But damn, the apple pie smelled great.
Yeah, that apple pie was great. Couldn't taste it, but I smelled it everywhere.
My house smells amazing, but the frickin' spirits are everywhere.
I know. So anyway, I'll leave it at that. I don't know what the feedback I'll get for that. I'm curious. I was not trying to do anything wrong or bad, or I just thought, you know, I'm going to rescue this relic that's rotting away over here.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
Okay. I hope not. I mean, people go to old houses all the time and like take, you know, when they're about to tear them down and they take fixtures and things to kind of give them new life. That's kind of how I feel about it. Like the old doors.
It's intention. It's all intention.
Yeah. People take old doors, windows. And an oven door is something that speaks to me. So I don't know.
I mean, God, Joanna Gaines, all that shiplap that they have taken from.
Yeah. Okay.
Old homes.
I don't feel so bad now.
Right?
Yeah. All right, back to the ghost stories in a second. First, if there is something that's interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals, it's time to raise your hand and say, you know what? I want to get some help. I want to make sure that I'm okay and that those around me are okay as well. And that all starts with BetterHelp. They'll help assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. There's no longer any excuses here. There's no longer any, well, there's nobody good in my area, or there's just nobody in my area. Because there's places like that that are literally mental health deserts. BetterHelp has eliminated that. This is one of those great things about technology and being able to talk to a therapist anywhere, anytime. And it enables it for so many folks who've been in those situations. I've been in that situation, too. That's why I love BetterHelp. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely and online. Broad range of expertise available with many things that may not, like I said, be locally available to you. It's available to clients worldwide. You log into your account anytime, send your message to your counselor, and get timely, thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room like you do with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed, and it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Do it for yourself. Visit their website, read their testimonials, and check it out. There's new ones posted all of the time. Just for example, just looking at it right now, one says, Holly's a great counselor, highly recommend her. She listens to what I have to say. Another one, Tandy does a great job listening and providing recommendations in regards to my concerns. There's several that go into much more depth and much more detail, but you can check that out for yourself if you'd like to and see those reviews at betterhelp.com/reviews. More importantly, go to betterhelp.com/ghost stories. That's better, H-E-L-P. .com/ghost stories and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Check it out for yourself. I think you will definitely find a lot of value in it. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Real Ghost Stories listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/ghost stories. All right, let's go to our first story. 855-853-4802 is our number. This is a little backstory before the creepy stuff. My husband, myself, and my daughter moved into our house in a rural mountain town in California 3 years ago. After meeting the neighbors, we found out that the house had been empty for about a year before the man we bought it from bought it and did some updating. We also found that a lovely lady had lived in the house for over 20 years before passing away from cancer. Not in the house. This lady had helped raise her grandson in the home, who ended up becoming a child actor and is a well-known actor today. Do not release his name, but I will tell you because I know you'll be interested. It is, and I can't say it out loud. I'll tell you after the show. This will come into play later in my story. My daughter and I are both somewhat sensitive. My daughter immediately started noticing movements in her room and smells that would come and go. The very heavy smell of cigarette smoke, like someone was smoking in the room at the moment. We live on acreage, and our nearest neighbor is quite a few far acres away, so it was not a neighbor smoking in their yard or home. Not the neighbor's smoke, either. Or smell of an older woman's perfume. Before we moved in, the house had been completely repainted, new air ducting installed, new flooring, so it was not a residue of the smell left over. I also have noticed both phantom smells in the 3 years of living here. I have figurines of King Tut and Anubis displayed on a table in my living room, and my daughter started noticing that about once a week, the King Tut figure would be completely sideways, even though neither of us had moved it, and I always have it facing forward. I thought she was moving it, and she thought I was. I decided to try and debunk the movement, thinking that it was moving from the vibration of someone walking by or around the room. We both walked back and forth normally and even jumped up and down around the area without the figure moving at all. About 2 weeks ago, a friend of ours told us about a movie that the grandson of the prior owner had been in and wrote that it's somewhat biographical of his father and his relationship. Of course, we thought we should watch it, and that is sounding interesting. My daughter and I are about halfway through the movie. We have the lights off in the living room and surrounding rooms, but we're watching and no outside lights on at all. The movie is a scene of the father talking about his bitch mom and how she was a horrible person, etc. Mind you, this would be the prior owner of the house. Right as that part is playing, a darker than dark big black shadow moves across the television screen faster than a person could move. I did not say anything, but immediately looked behind me thinking, oh, must be one of the cats running on the counter, and that someone, or somehow, without any lights, a shadow was cast onto the TV in front of us. It wasn't. There was nothing behind us at all. My daughter saw me look and said, Mom, did you see that shadow too? We finished the movie, but I kept thinking about how I would feel if I were a ghost in my prior home and the new homeowners are watching a movie with my son talking bad about me. For the next few days, activity seemed to spike more than it had been. I finally spoke out loud to the prior owner. I said, I'm sorry about the movie and how hurtful that must have been. We had no intention of hurting you. Things have been mellow since, so I'm hoping she understood. We've never had an issue with her enjoying staying here. It must have been a special place for her, and she has never bothered us. I did not let her know that I do not like the shadow play, and that must stop. Or I did let her know. Hopefully she listens. Thanks for taking the time to read this, and thanks for the great show. Take care, Danielle. You're sitting there wondering who the actor is, aren't you?
I know, and I was also sitting here thinking, as soon as this episode's done, I'm asking you.
Well, here.
I'm going to have you tell me.
I'm going to pause the recording and tell you, and then we'll pick it up, and nobody will know the difference.
Kind of crazy.
I just unpause, and you go, he's kind of crazy.
Well, it's true.
Well, I honestly don't know much about the actor, but we won't say the name on the air.
You know, as you were telling that story, like, it's so something I do all the time. And I don't think, you know, my house has a super great energy. I love it so much. But I still talk to the house,
mm-hmm.
You know? And so I really believe, like, sometimes it's like, hey, we can all be here together. I love your house. I love it as much as you did and do.
Yeah.
But I like that idea of just having a conversation with it and living together peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
Because you both, you know, if you would think if somebody loved a house so much, they would stay there forever.
Yeah.
And ever. Like, we got that in common. Like, we both love this place. I'm the one paying the bills now. So.
Yeah. I it makes sense. I mean, I would think it also be, I get the, it would be awkward if that movie is played and, you know, you're able to hear what's being said about you, you know. I wonder if
I can see why you would get pissed.
Yeah. I wonder if that's a surprise then to that person that person is on television talking about them in that way. Or if they were aware of their career trajectory before they died. And so they're not surprised that this is on television. Cause I could see, like, if you had died prior to any of that taking off and suddenly it's like, wait a second, is that who I think it is? Or they're saying, what, why are they there? You know, do you know the full context of, you know, what history is filled in when you, between your death and today?
I would think so.
I would, yeah.
I would think you would kind of know everything.
That's what I think.
And especially
you think?
That person, I think that would not be a surprise.
No.
I think there would have been some indications.
Yeah. Probably. They probably are aware, you know, of how people feel about them. It's not, you know, always, you know, that people are unaware. They're aware. They just, you know, it's like, well, whatever. That's what people think of me. But, you know, and they just, you know, mosey on without ever trying to change those opinions.
And I also think that some people, you know, a mental illness
mm-hmm.
could maybe cause some things.
Sure.
And you shouldn't hate on someone because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be in play with that person too.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, well, exactly. That's where, I mean, you have to be compassionate and kind of take all those
especially
things.
If you're the grandma, it's like, I saw that.
Exactly.
I'm not really totally surprised.
Everyone's like, who is it? Sorry.
It's that one person.
Yeah. Maybe some people have figured it out. I don't know. I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. All right. Next one says, this is not a story for Harper's ears. I'm not even sure that you can air this because of subject matter, but I'll leave that to your judgment. Ooh. My father was in the military. We moved around a lot. When I was around 2 years old, we were living in a two-story townhouse apartment. One night, I suddenly became absolutely terrified of the steps leading up to my bedroom. My parents were trying to lead me up the stairs, and I was shrieking in horror. I remember them asking me what was wrong, but of course, being a toddler, I did not have the words to describe what I was sensing. Finally, my father carried me up to bed. From then on, I sensed an evil presence that could go inside living creatures or inanimate objects like the stairs. Every now and then, I'd sense the evil in my room, like in my dresser. But at the time, I did not see it. It haunted my dreams, and that I would be dreaming a normal dream, and then the sense that the evil had gone inside my parents or the cat. I wanted to fight the evil, but I would be destroying my loved ones if I did, since he was inside of them. So I was helpless to combat the presence. As I grew older, the evil took on the form of an amoeba-like, somewhat human forms with colors floating around inside of them. I saw these forms in my dreams. I would be again having a normal dream, and then I would see several of these presences in the periphery of wherever the location of my dream was. They'd sneak around behind me, grab me around my arm so that I could not move, then pant and roar in my ears. I could feel their hot breath on my neck. After what seemed to be a long time, I could finally wake up. Nothing would be around me and no one would be in my room. I called them nightmare daydreams and told my mother about the first dream the next day. She became visibly upset and told me not to talk about them, that if I did not talk about them, they would not bother me. That, of course, was not true. The next time I was attacked in my dreams, I told my mother again at breakfast. She yelled at me and she did not want to hear any more of my nightmare daydreams and that she would spank me if I talked about them again. So I just had to cower in terror by myself at night after waking up and not be comforted. Now, at the time, I was absolutely in ignorance about how human reproduction works. I was still told that the stork brought babies, but thinking back on it, the sound in nightmare daydreams made in my ears was a sound of a violent conclusion to a reproductive act. I was haunted by these presences until I was an adolescent. The evil in my dreams then turned into a feeling of dread. If I went to a certain area in any house I was dreaming about and still have those daydreams today at 62 years of age. My mother had always told me that her father, my grandfather, died before I was born, and he was a mean man, but she did not go into any detail about how mean he was. It was not until after my mother died that my uncle informed me that their father was a pedophile who molested both his daughters and his sons. My poor grandmother could not leave him because the children were raised during the Depression. They were dirt poor tenant farmers, and my grandmother and her children would starve if they left, the only source of food and income for the family, which happened to be my grandmother's pedophile husband. I also found out that my awful grandfather had not died before I was born, but passed away when I was about 2 years old. I believe his evil is still following me around. I wonder if I can get rid of him before I pass away. Thank you for your fascinating podcast. That is a fascinating story.
That's a creepy one. Yeah, that's not a story for Harper.
No, that's not one to put onto the kid-friendly Saturday edition of Real Ghost Stories Online. But no, I mean that, you know, when you think of evil presences, oftentimes you think demonic, you think something of that nature. But I think evil can be just as bad, even if it's a human ghost, a human spirit that's lingering around when it's someone like that.
My God, that's just right up there with demonic.
Yeah.
You know, that person, like, I think there's a special place in hell for people like that.
Sure.
You know, it's like, to be that, I don't even have words for people like that, but it's just horrific and selfish. And it's such deep, deep, deep abuse that these people have to live with forever. And you don't care.
No.
You know, it's just sick.
I mean, that's, I think, you know, the personification of evil in the living. to be doing
things like that.
What was
at one point, like, was it the grandmother didn't want to hear about the stories or the dreams or
the mom? I think it was just the mom. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you maybe might want to listen to your kid. Like,
yeah.
You know, if your kid's trying to talk about something like that, you really should listen.
At least listen. I mean, every parent's going to have different philosophies on how to handle a story that is kind of supernatural in nature. Some may try and calm the child down and assure them that it was just a dream or something like that. Others may completely dismiss it. You know, others may say, you know, well, let's try and find a way to make that stop or slow that down or whatever. But at the very least, listening is the key part to that. Even after the second act of what your response is, just listen, because that's what's going to help them more than anything, just to be able to be heard.
And no matter what it is, you know, if a kid has something on its mind and he or she needs to get it off and talk about it, it's like, discuss it.
Yeah. That
story really bothered me.
It was a dark one, but it was very fascinating. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's get another caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Good morning. My name is Ivan, and I had called last week for the first time from Philadelphia. And I've had a series of things happen to me throughout my life, but I was just calling today about the house that we used to live in. In Chester, Pennsylvania. It was a three-bedroom house. I guess it was built around 1930s, 1940s, average house. But the basement was like the creepiest thing. My brother and my sister would sometimes go down in that basement, and we never liked going down there. We felt like there was a presence down there, something that would press on you or push you, not really physically push you, but we just felt like there was something around us at all times when we went down in that basement. It got to the point that if you wanted something from the basement, you would memorize where it was at, and then you would hurry up and you would run down there and you would grab it and you would run back up. Well, this basement was split in half. Half was concrete, but it was old and dilapidated. That was at the beginning of the house. And then the latter part of the basement, in the back, it was a little wall, a little retaining wall, and then in the back was all dirt. And there was a mound of dirt back there that was about, I don't know, I'd say maybe 5-6 feet long. And it used to look like a grave. And we always thought that it was, or that we thought maybe something was buried, somebody was buried in there. We don't know. We never actually found out, but it used to give us the creep. And we never liked that basement. As a matter of fact, we even came up with a name for the thing that was down there. We used to call it Oompa. Don't ask me why, but that was the name that we came up with. And we would say, don't go down in the basement because Oompa's going to get you. And so that was like the creepiest part of the house. And then I just wanted to share the one day that I was knocked out in my room sleeping. I used to sleep on the second floor. My bedroom was top of the steps to the left. And my niece had come through the door looking for me. And she said she looked up at the top of the steps and she seen what looked like a person. She thought it was me. And she said, hey, Uncle Ivan, does that whatever it was looked at her and then walked into my room. So she thought that maybe I didn't hear her. So she proceeded to walk up the steps and come into my room. And when she came into my room, I was knocked out. I was sleeping. She said she immediately got the creep, turned around, and she ran out of the house. I didn't see her for about a week. And it wasn't until I did see her again that she told me what had happened. And I told her, like, wow, you're just going to see something walk in my room and you're not even going to wake me up and tell me? But Yeah, that was the house that we used to live at in Chester. That was the story of Oompa. He used to live in that basement. To this day, I don't know if that house still stands, but I don't know what was in that basement. But there was definitely something there. Well, anyway, thank you for listening. And if you decide to play this, that's fine. And if you don't, it's all well and good. But again, thank you very much.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Thoughts?
You think there was two things in that house? If something in the basement for sure. And that's pretty common.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy-ass basements.
I could see there being.
Then, what about, could that be the same thing that the niece saw?
I think it's very possible. I mean, it kind of had two different feels to it. That's why I'm wondering if there are two different things kind of inhabiting two different areas.
Because he didn't seem to connect them. He talked about the in that it was in the basement.
Yeah.
Now, that said, if I was going up the stairs and I saw that and went in the bedroom and saw the person was sound asleep, I would probably run out of the house too.
Sure.
And then I would get outside and go, man, I should have woke him up. But I think that I would just run without even thinking. Like, it would scare me so bad.
I wouldn't know what else to do. I mean, that would just be like my only reaction. And
But I totally, totally relate to that feeling of like going in the basement and whatever you got to do, you got to get it really fast and run out of there. And then there's that weird feeling like when you're going up the stairs, like there's something that's just watching you from behind. It's just, I don't even know how to describe it, but there's something like it's right there behind
you. I'm getting the shivers just thinking about it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I remember, when I was a kid, I had this kind of reoccurring dream where it was in different settings, but the gist of it is something gets me and carries me into the basement of whatever house I'm in. And it would be like my first house, the house that I lived in when I was for the rest of my growing up years, or my aunt's house or this house or that. Sometimes not even a house that I knew. But it was always just this unseen thing that would carry me through the steps and into the basement. And the feeling I had, just, it was the worst feeling in the world, because it's that the chills, you know, the quick shiver that you get with the chills, but it was constant. It was just like the chills on repeat, and it's just chill, 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 chill. And you just end up feeling like you're almost shaking. And then I would wake up and I'd almost be shaking, and then I'd snap out of it. But it was just the worst feeling. That more than anything else, it wasn't even just like the fear of getting to the basement. It was just, I would always wake up when we got to the basement, but it was just this uncontrolled, something's pulling me down feeling.
Yeah.
That was weird. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's see here. Give me one second. Actually, I moved that to the wrong folder. Can I bring that back? I will do that in a second.
Carry the one.
And here's one that we can hear. Let's go to this. If I can click on the right thing. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hey, this is Jennifer from Austin, Texas again. It's early in the morning. I'm a little freaked out. This is a short story. Basically, I moved into an apartment complex, and this one woman lets her stray cats run around everywhere. Anyway, I came home one afternoon to one of my neighbors telling me that one of the stray cats had gotten eaten by a coyote or something, and they had found parts of her strewn around the apartment complex. It was really actually very sad, but this cat would always she knew to go around to the certain people in the complex who would feed her. So she would always have her little routine. She would always be near my car when I came home from work. You know, I fed her every once in a while, but there's a woman who lives right across from me in my complex who has a food bowl out for her every day, like clockwork. You know, he would come to her door and he would make this like howl meow, like, you know, I'm here, meow, meow. Like, anyway, I was awake this morning, wide awake, and I heard that meow. But it was weird. It was a labored, weird meow. It was still that same meow, and I know it was that cat's meow. I heard it. I got up and went outside to look around to see if there was any other cats around. In fact, that woman who has a couple of cats roaming around, she hasn't let that cat go outside, the other one that survived, ever since this happened, and had another neighbor tell me that it was an owl that had taken the other cat out. Anyway, I just wanted to call and let you know that I think that it was either like a residual thing. I don't know. It was super weird. I know what I heard. I was wide awake. And it's a full moon tonight. And I don't know. Maybe she's coming back doing her old original routine for this lady. Or I don't know. Maybe something else in the Earth's atmosphere brought her here. But I just thought it was, I don't know. It was really interesting. And I thought I'd share it with you. I hope you all have a good day. You're doing a great job. I love listening to you. And take care. Bye.
Interesting story of animals.
And you know, with a cat, they have very distinct sounds. Like my old cat, Bob, he'll do this kind of weird howly sound.
Yeah.
And I notice my young cat will do it sometimes. But they live in the same house together. It's not really a sound I've heard other cats really do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you know the cat, they're very distinctive. It's like hearing my dog bark. I know what Buddy's bark sounds like.
Sure.
It's a little different now that he's 15. It's kind of gotten
they
super
age.
Cute.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get that. Like, especially the cat that goes to that door and makes that sound every day and you hear it over and over and over. And then you hear it and it's like, oh, the cat. Wait,
yeah.
That cat's not there.
Yeah.
Then maybe there was another cat that would make that sound, but cats are so different, and especially if it had kind of a certain sound that it made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know.
And it kind of, if they're left to their own devices, they can be very routine animals too, with what they do at certain times of the day and all that. Like I go over here and eat at this time, and
yeah.
Then have a nap over here, and you get to kind of used to how what your cat does. My parents' cat, when it died a couple years ago. They would hear very distinctively every night, you know, the sound of its claws on the floor, the linoleum floor in the kitchen. And at a certain time in the evening, because she'd be going up to get her snack, and cat dies and they hear those claws on the kitchen floor.
Oh, wow.
Like the day after she's dead. And they're like, they look at each other like, did you hear that? They're like, yeah. And the cat's obviously not there anymore. They go up there like, did something get in? There's nothing there. And I guess they also heard cats make distinctive sounds when they cough up hairballs. And each cat,
oh, God, yeah.
And each cat has their own version of it too. And this one had its own version of it. And they would hear that around the house sometimes too. For the first couple of weeks after it died. And it was just kind of funny. My thought was, this really sucks if you still have fur balls in death. I mean,
oh my God,
that really? Transfers over, really?
Well, my old cat, well, I've had some talks. He's 19.
Yeah.
Like, he's very old. And I'm like, you cannot do this when you're gone.
Yeah.
Because it's going to scare the shit out of me. But he does it every night, just sometime in the middle of the night. And it's like a weird non-cat sound,
yeah.
But it's totally him, and he's got my young cat doing it too. So at least if he does do it, I could blame it on Rizzo, the young cat.
Yeah.
Be like, well, whatever. It's got to be Riz.
That's
it. Can't be you.
They're learning from each other, yeah. And then you got an excuse.
No, but I get what she's saying when you hear that's a very distinct sound.
Yeah.
And she was convinced. You could tell by her voice.
Completely. Yeah, I have ghost cat. I've told my ghost cat stories too. I believe that they can be ghosts. You know, I was actually talking with Todd, who's our new other co-host of the show. He's on one day a week. About this earlier in the day. About you know, when people go into homes, especially like, well, it's not that old. You know, it's about 25 years. We're the second owners, but I know the first owners are still alive. But we see like, you know, kind of shadows and stuff around the house. And how often are people having those experiences and they're not like super distinct shadows, or they're confused because they're short, because they're pets?
Mm.
Cause you have, you can almost guarantee that a house of any age over 10 years, 15 years, the likelihood of there being a pet that died in that house is a hell of a lot higher than a human dying in that house. And there's so many stories of pets that have died. I wonder how often people are having these kind of weird, you know, shadow type figures and things and thinking it's a ghost of a person or something. Who is it? Is it evil? Is it this or that? No, it's somebody's Labrador, you know, something like that, that you didn't even know existed. And it's just walking around doing its thing. I wonder how often hauntings are simply ghost pets.
Well, and next time you see something like that, just think, hey, it's a Labrador.
Yeah. And you're all good.
And then you won't be so scared. It's a dog.
Exactly. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Get access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories in history. Ghostpodcast.com or Patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories to get all of that. Brand new EPP bonus episodes every single week for our EPPs as well. Ebook, audiobook, and it's all there. $5 a month. Ghostpodcast.com or Patreon.com/Real Ghost Stories. For Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.